Today's reading, Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Here ends the reading.
Oh, is that in the way? How do I load this? Okay. All right, good morning. My name's Winston. If you're new to church, awesome, glad you're here. As Ying mentioned, I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the youth pastor. And if it's your first time to church, it's awesome. I remember the first time I came to church, walked into church, and honestly, I was totally weirded out. I was like, man, what is going on here? You know, people are like standing up and singing. You know, people are like praying all together. I'm like, what is going on here? And it was honestly like a big culture shock to me when I first rocked up to church. So it's awesome you're here, and thanks for giving church a go and giving it a chance. And we're going to look at this short passage in a moment. But before I do that, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Awesome God. You're an incredible God. A God who has made himself known through your son Jesus. Thanks for sending him into this world to save us, Lord, to save us from our sins. Thanks for dying on a cross for us, Lord. Thanks for revealing yourself to us. And we pray that you'll not only open our minds this morning, but I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you don't know how to get the passage in front of you, you can QR code it from your phone and you can bring up the passage. It might be helpful for you to look on. Leave that up there for a moment. So anyway, this morning I want to talk about misunderstandings. I've heard in some relationships people feel misunderstood. Relationships like children with their parents. Now, apparently, some children often think their parents don't really understand them. Not my boy. He's always, you know, he thinks his dad gets him all the time, right? You know, if you've got a child, you know that's not true. But here's something that I don't understand, though, and I've heard that in some marriages, husbands and wives often don't understand each other very well. And I find it hard to believe because, like, Vicky and I, like, perfect, you know, understand each other perfectly every time. Take, for instance, when she says, "Hey, it'll be great if you could wash the dishes sometime." What do you reckon that means? And all the husbands know exactly what that means, right? Nod your head. You know what it means. What it means is that, well, you know, when I get a bit of time, the footy's finished, I might think about washing the dishes, or maybe tomorrow. Is that what it means? You're in a whole lot of trouble, right? You know exactly what it means. And so, you know, Vicky and I, perfect every time without fail. Anyway, just kidding. In reality, we often have misunderstandings and we misunderstand each other. I think one of the people we misunderstand the most, that people misunderstand the most, is Jesus. He is actually one of the most divisive people in human history. For many people, Jesus is the one that they love the most. And yet for others, Jesus is the one that they hate, the one that they blame for many of the wrongs that go on throughout human history. Now, there's no doubt that, you know, as we look back throughout history, like, terrible things have been done in the name of Jesus. Violence, bigotry, genocide, war, inquisitions, oppression, slavery, exploitation, greed, abuse, power. So it's no wonder that many people say that they don't want to go to church because of these things. If those evils are what the church reflects and represents into the world, then, you know, who would want to come to church? Now, I don't want to make excuses for those great wrongs of the church. We have to do better, don't we? We have to do better, church, and we must do better. We're called to do better. But there is something very important I want all of us to understand this morning. People often misunderstand Jesus because of the sins of the church. Jesus is misunderstood because of the sins of those who claim to follow Jesus. But here's the point that I want you all to take away this morning, and especially if you're new to church, I really want you to engage with this one point. The sins of the church are not the sins of Jesus. The hypocrisy of Christians is not the hypocrisy of Jesus. What was Jesus really on about? Who is he? And what really mattered to Jesus? And we get a bit of a glimpse at the passage this morning of who Jesus was. He was a good, caring man, a man with great compassion and love. He had great power that came from God. He used that power for good. He used that power to heal. And yet we see how Jesus was greatly misunderstood in this passage. So let's have a look at over what happened again. So if you've got the passage there, QR code still there? Yep. Look it up if you need to. So the scene opens up with Jesus and he has this encounter with a man with a shriveled hand inside the synagogue. Now, that's actually pretty unusual. You see, people with disabilities weren't normally allowed into the synagogue. In fact, people with disabilities and illnesses were like sent away from the community, if you know anything about the Jewish laws. They were pushed off to the side. They're kind of outcasts of society. And so, you know, for those people, it was like they were cursed. They were people to be, you know, don't go near them. They're unclean. And if you get too close to them, maybe you'll pick up what they have. So stay away. People to be that you're meant to stay away from. So it was pretty unusual to see this guy with a shriveled hand inside the synagogue. Why was that? Well, as you read on, you see why this was actually going on. He was there because this was actually a trap. We're told in verse 2 that some people wanted to accuse Jesus. So they put this man here to set Jesus up. It was a trap. And later in verse 6, we find out who these people that were trying to accuse Jesus were. They were Pharisees. And Pharisees were the Jewish religious leaders of the day. They were the law keepers, the so-called guardians of the Jewish law. And they were super strict about, you know, Jews keeping the laws. They took the rules very, very seriously. Now, there's an important detail in this story which helps us understand the trap. And that is, this all takes place on a day of the week known as the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day when the Jews were meant to have a rest day. They're meant to do nothing virtually. And the Pharisees, they were really strict about what Jews could and couldn't do. Essentially, they were meant to stay home. And in order to eat the food on the Sabbath that they wanted to eat, they had to prepare and cook the food the previous day. They weren't meant to cook on the Sabbath. That's how strict the Jews were about the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees, they were the guardians. They really, you know, enforced these rules. And so here lies the trap. They put this man with the shriveled hand in the synagogue, front and center, on the Sabbath, and all eyes are watching. They plant this guy there. They put him where they knew Jesus was going to see this guy. Because why? Because they're thinking, we can trap him. You know, Jesus is not going to be able to help himself when he sees this man with the shriveled hand. He's been doing these miracles around the place. He's done it before. Well, he can't help himself. He's going to see this man. He's going to do this thing on the Sabbath, and he's going to break the Sabbath law. They want to catch him. And so we're told in verse 2, they watch him closely to see if he's going to fall for the trap. So Jesus, he sees the man, but he notices that this is pretty fishy. This is not normal, and all the eyes are watching what is going on. He knows it's a trap. And you can picture it. Hey, Jesus walk, and all of a sudden it's pretty quiet. All eyes are watching. What is he going to do? And basically we read that Jesus flips it back at these people that want to accuse him, and he says, well, what he basically is saying to them, what do you want me to do now? What do you think the right thing to do in this case is? Yes, it's the Sabbath, but what do you think I should do? Should I do the good thing, which is to heal this man? Or if I had the power to heal this man, should I do the wrong thing, the evil thing, and not heal this man? What do you think I should do? He flips it back at them. And they've got nothing to say at that point, right? They're silent, we're told. Is it good? Is it lawful to do good or evil? To save or to kill? But their hearts are hardened, aren't they? And they don't answer how they should answer. So Jesus performs this miracle. And he tells the man to stretch out his hand that was shriveled. And before their very eyes, this shriveled hand is restored back completely. Strong and working again. Now that's pretty amazing. If you saw that happen, this shriveled hand back to normal, working again, what would you think? You think, wow, what is going on here? This miracle. Praise God, right? Praise God, this is incredible. Yet, they don't praise God. Instead, what do we see? Verse 6, these Pharisees, they walk out of the synagogue. Instead of praising God, they plot to kill him. Talk about misunderstanding, right? Right before their eyes, they saw it, they're watching closely, and yet they were so blind. They misunderstood who Jesus really was. They couldn't see the power of God in the miracle that Jesus performed. They couldn't see his love, they couldn't see his compassion, his kindness. All they saw was this guy broke the rules. That's what they saw. And because he broke the rules, we got to kill this guy. Talk about misunderstanding, right? I reckon one of the days, one of the reasons why Jesus is so misunderstood is because, you know, we Christians often make the same mistake. We often put rules ahead of people. We often, the way we speak, it's like rules are more important than people sometimes. And I'm going to say something like probably controversial. And I don't know, some of you might be offended actually when I'm going to say this, but about 5 years ago, we had this massive debate in our country. The same-sex marriage debate, the plebiscite 5 years ago. And the church spoke up. We spoke up loud, you know, and we said, we were saying to the world around us, vote no. Vote no for this. And you might think we won the intellectual debate. You might even say that. But in actual fact, we won nothing. We lost. Because what's the result? The result is people don't want to listen to us. I mean, let's admit it. Like, who really listens to Christians? Like, after that event, I think we went backwards in society's eyes. The impression out there is that Christians care more about rules than people. And that's a sad thing. And yet here in our Bible passage today, Jesus flips it around and says, no, rules are not more important than people. But we, the church, sadly, we get it wrong. We often get it wrong. And we send this confusing message out to the world. We preach a gospel of grace. We believe that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus can be saved. And we're saved. Not by following rules or being good enough in God's eyes. We're saved because Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins. And it's by grace that we are saved. It's this incredible act of God's love, and it's a gift from God. That's why we're saved. It's a message that's meant to open our arms widely to people. Salvation is for anyone. No matter how broken or fallen you are, you can come to Jesus and you can receive his salvation. And yet we, the church, can so often get it wrong. We put all sorts of different barriers that kind of push people away. You know, by the way that we debate our politics, by the way that we treat people who are different to us, sexuality or gender, by the way that we speak to people who don't believe in God. The way that we talk and speak in the public sphere and in our conversations with people, we can paint a picture that says to the world out there that the church cares more about rules than about people. We can say to the world that the church is a place where you're welcome if you're good enough. The church is a place where only the religious law, rule-following sorts of people, the pious religious kinds of people, you're welcome. But if you don't quite fit, well, you're not as welcome. That's the message we can give sometimes. But that is not what Jesus is like in this passage. He is a savior who cares deeply for the broken and rejected people in society. He cares for the hungry and the thirsty, the strugglers and the mourners, the weak and the weary. And we see in our story today, you see it in verse 5, Jesus is actually, he's actually angry. He's angry when rules are put ahead of people. He's angry when religious people, you know, put rules that drive people away from God. That's who our Savior is. And we read that he's angry about that. He's deeply distressed. And he's distressed when we, the church, are the same. When we drive people away from God with our rules and the way that we speak, the way that we treat others who are different. And so if you're new to church, I'll say two things to you. Firstly, I want to say sorry. Sorry if the church has given you this impression that you have to be good enough before you can come to God. Because that's not true. The second thing is, I want to say to you, is that you fit here. You fit here. You're welcome here. No matter what your background is, no matter what's happened in your life, whatever brokenness you have, whatever sins and guilt you might carry, you know, you're welcome here. Come as you are. Whatever struggles you have, you are welcome here in church. You're welcome here. And I want to invite you to start this journey of really understanding, seeking to learn and discover and understand who Jesus really is. I don't know what your thoughts of Jesus are, and we often misunderstand Jesus just as he was in this story. But I want to invite you, come as you are and begin this journey to discover and learn who Jesus really is. And Rev Ying in a moment is going to tell you about the next steps that you can take. He's mentioned them before. He's going to rehash them for you in a moment. But I want to leave you with a passage from Jesus. And he says in Matthew 11, verse 28, and he's saying this to you. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, we confess that we often get you wrong, and we often get it wrong in the way that we speak to the world, speak to people, treat people. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to do better. And for anyone who's new here to church, new to Christianity, trying to work it out, Lord, I pray for them that you would help them start this journey to learn more about you, to truly find out who you are, God, and open their hearts to see the true Jesus. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.